Blog Talk Radio.
The Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Call in at 646-716-8652. And don't forget to push 1. Broadcasting from the southern plains of the greater Midwest in Kansas City, overlooking the beautiful Kaw River Valley in lovely Wyandotte County, Kansas, and occupied Osage Indian Territory. So greetings, ex-prisoners, partisans, communards, brigadiers, and lumpen proletariat. This is the Prison Abolitionist Hour podcast, celebrating 370 years of anti-capitalist thought through reasoning and rebellion. This is the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. This is the podcast for May 13th, 2023. Content warning. This is an anti-capitalist podcast, not recommended for old geezers who rely on mass incarceration for their luxury lifestyle in retirement. This is a podcast of the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, Industrial Union 690, of the Industrial Workers of the World. The crisis in mass incarceration is not a shortage of prison beds or dilapidated prisons. The problem is jails and prisons. Prisons that have existed since Mesopotamia up into the Mississippi cotton plantations. We recommend that you check out decarceratekc.org for more details inside the state and local movement to end cash bail, to end militarized policing, and to abolish prisons. 5 years ago, there was a Jackson County report that contained a lot of missing information, like who was cashing the checks for the plant engineer of the Jackson County Jail and maintenance supervisor at this jail, causing the jail that was new in 1983 to fall into disrepair in 15 years, just in time for the first anti-drug tact to be voted on in Kansas City. Jackson County Legislature has approved a new Jackson County jail, but how the jail will be paid is in question. Liberals say hold a bond levy, but that has to be voted on, which is a problem, because everybody's worried about the rich man's taxes. What is a proprietary prison system integrated with the largest telecoms the world has ever seen? What does that look like? What are the goals of prison telecoms on a shrinking planet in the age of climate disruption? Is this new Jackson County jail the revolving door of a dystopian future? Does former Jackson County Magistrate Judge David Byrne believe Jehovah is about to return and they can transfer their assets to a space station mining pure nickel on a nearby asteroid with prison labor? Did Jackson County Legislature just approve a $300 million budget for a new Jackson County correctional facility? Or did they just pay $300 million for an app, that's no more sophisticated than an old geezer's CPAP machine? Wouldn't the Highway 40 acreage be put to better use for building integrated circuits, so Kansas City could help curtail climate change? Are wraparound services in this new Jackson County jail described as a design, build, finance, manage? And why is this new Kansas City jail contain all the information solutions the stakeholders have been looking for? Maintenance, planning, and design capabilities. All the Jackson County Legislature has to do is sign on the dotted line, press hard, 3 copies. Why is the Jackson County Legislature expected to sign off on something they can't even understand? Wraparound services to us sounds like automation forklifts and robot dogs that can administer riot suppression, a new prison language enabling prisoners to work in high security settings in far-off spaces, Jackson County. The question is, are corporate roll-ups from Hunt's hedge fund managers another word for smoking blunts? We're just asking questions here. And why does Mariner Kemper's face look like it was carved from cream cheese? How many prison portfolios is United Missouri Bank managing these days? And what are these prisoners dying of? We know the Kemper Hunt oligarchy financed immigrant child detention in Rhode Island, and that's sick. When David Byrne says the new detention center won't be an urban detention center, what does he mean by urban? What are the choices? Will it be another rural detention center filled with black and brown people, with Scotch-Irish prison guards? Jack Henry Abbott used to say the Ozark prison guards were the meanest guards in the United States. So this story begins with the two floods at the Jackson County Courthouse the first year of the Trump administration, forcing millions of public court records to be frozen into blocks of ice. It's also fair to mention the KCPD evidence storage facility caught fire as a result of a cell phone battery. Many evidence rooms burned across the country during this time. We'd like to mention political prisoner Eric King, who was tortured during the 2016-2018 national prison strike. The J-20 defendants, who were sectioned off by race and class, were 200 IWW members, were charged separately during the prosecution pertaining to the inauguration of Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. The state and federal police have targeted IWW members, killing Manuel Tortajita at the South River Forest in Atlanta, and jailed 40 Forest defenders who have trumped-up charges of eco-terrorism. We dedicate this to a trans person named Banco, who was killed by San Francisco police, and last week, that police officer walked free. So this is a dedication to Banco. However, we warn you, content warning, there is a clip from Montana state representative who states publicly, the Taliban hates homosexuals more than we do. This is the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G.
One thing, we have our basic human rights that are not being met.
Say that.
They are kidnapping us and they are locking us up inside of jails and institutions and saying we're the problem.
Yep.
They are placing profits over people.
Yep.
They spend $800,000 each year to incarcerate somebody. $800,000 to incarcerate somebody. Can you imagine if those dollars were given to Banco's family or even just to him, just to him?
That part.
What would that do for somebody's life? If we reallocated those dollars, but instead they're funneling money into systems to capture us, into this institution that ends up putting us on involuntary servitude.
Yeah.
The 13th Amendment, if you ever think that slavery was abolished, it is not. Right. Slavery has not been abolished. Young Women's Freedom Center is fighting to amend the Constitution right now. Because we know what that is. Because if they can make a pipeline for us to be inside of here, then they can put people on slave labor, just like they captured people and brought them here against their will, and there was a genocide for the original caretakers of this land. So we know that it's deep. It's deeper than that. So I just want to say that Banco was a loving person. He walked into the center. Anytime Banco walked in, he was surrounded by small children and a gang of people around him. And even when he was turned away from doors, he still brought people to get resources. That's how he was. Even if he wasn't going to have somewhere, he was the type of person to give you the shirt off his own back. That's the type of person that Banco was. That's how we knew him. And so I just want to honor him today, and I want to make sure that the nation hears us. That this is just like when we throw a pebble in the pond and it creates a ripple, that people all the way to New York, all the way to Los Angeles, wherever it is, that this spreads throughout the nation and globally. That way you can't take a black life here.
Nope.
You can't take a black trans life here, and you have to answer to us.
Yeah.
You answer to all of us now.
Yeah.
Well, it's time to be a tribute to late General Echo.
A murder sign. A murder sign. Long, 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 long,
good.
Ka echo did, echo did, echo did do. Ka echo did, echo did, echo did do. Me de a London, me say me get a news flash. Me de a London, me say me get a news flash. Me get the news flash, say Papa Echo get shot. Me get the news flash, say Papa Echo get shot. Say, who a go suck up the down? Wah, wah, wah. Who a go suck up the down? Say we wah, wah, wah. Echo say them de down, wah, wah, wah. But Echo say din de dan nim ga wa wa.
Say who know Echo can tell you. Say who know Echo can tell you.
on a Sunday night.
Uh-uh.
And then they come up on a Sunday night. You hear me? She come again.
Go there.
Do you hear me again? She come again.
Uh-uh.
Do you hear him again? But you run with them things and we no matter what they do. No matter what them things and we no matter what they do. Papa Echo say we still remember you.
Oh, Papa Echo say we still remember you. Watch your man.
Some feel it in them heart, some feel it in them soul. Some feel it in them heart, some feel it in them soul. Papa Echo want go bury in a 6 foot hole. Echo want go bury in a 6 foot hole. Say, who a go slap up the door? Who a go nice up the door?
Cause Papa Echo never trouble no one.
No, 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 wait.
Say Papa Echo just a sing him little song.
Go there.
Say Papa Echo never trouble no one.
No, 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 wait.
Say when him used to DJ sound Echo tune. I know him left a thousand people just a moan.
Go there.
Him left a thousand people just a moan.
Jamaican shot, Jamaican shot, London shot, New York shot, New York shot. Say Papa Echo get shot, Echo get shot. Go there.
Boa Chama.
Western Kingston about. Western Kingston about. Say Papa Echo dead in the damn gone. Papa Echo dead in the damn gone.
Go there.
Who are gonna light it up for me? Yeah. Who are gonna light it up for me?
We, we.
Echo said him never did a ram. Him go pick a lake, him and pan him 2 stone back. And then me hear the new slam, say Echo get shot. Them shouldn't do that. Say what a wicked act. Them shouldn't do that. Say what a wicked act. Who a go slack up the dance, Chihuahua? Who a go slack up the dance? Come here, say Western Kingston a ball. Eastern Kingston a ball. And me say all of the girls, they might be by a new frack. All of the girls, they might be by a new frack. Madu, and where you a go do?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Madu, and where you a go do?
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
A 10-foot deep flood in the basement of the Jackson County Courthouse at the building closed for business. A county spokesperson says a water main break sent water rushing inside. It threatened an electrical area, forcing a power shutdown, not just at the courthouse.
So apparently the electricity comes to the City Hall building from across the street over here at Jackson County. That's why we were affected.
City Hall was shut down as well. A rep with KC Water said a water main break like this can put out 2,000 gallons a minute. He said changing temperatures can be a trigger.
That's primarily what we see when these temperatures drop and then the temperature gradually increases. You'll see these freeze bursts.
What do you do if this happens at your house?
Make sure you know where your stop waste valve is. This is the main shutoff to the line. Most of these valves are located in the basements or in a water closet or utility closet.
There are steps you can take before this happens if you think you have frozen pipes.
Open up your cabinets and try to get that warm air to circulate back inside your cabinets. You can even take a blow dryer to it, and that should thaw your line out.
Emily Welsh, KMBC 9.
County Courthouse will not reopen despite all the work they did there over the weekend.
Yeah, here we go again. This is waterline break number 2 in 2 weeks.
41 Action News reporter Charlie Keegan's been out there all morning. Charlie, we saw the fire trucks pull up behind you there. What's happening?
Well, this county says that there's been another waterline break here in the building, and just within the last couple of minutes, we saw what looked like some sort of service vehicle, maybe a plumber coming into the backside of the building here to try and get this all under control, but it's forcing the county to close this courthouse again. They hope to have it reopen after the last waterline that broke Wednesday into Thursday of last week. In that overnight hours, we have some video or pictures we can show you from that instance last week where more than 10 feet of water was standing in the basement here in the Jackson County Courthouse, and that water and mud and debris that got inside the courthouse really impacted some of those major operating components of the building. You know, when it comes to the electronics and the heaters and the elevator components, they're all down there in the basement and they were affected by that flooding. But they worked for 72 straight hours over the weekend trying to get this back up and running so that they could open the building today, only to have another waterline break. And now that's forcing them to close the Jackson County Courthouse again today here in downtown Kansas City, Missouri. Jackson County, though, does want to remind folks, if you have business with the assessor's office, with the collections office, or with the registrar of deeds, all three of those departments are open at the east office here of Jackson County on Independence Square and Independence. They will be able to help you with those types of issues out at that location. But downtown, it'll be closed again today on Monday. I'm reporting live, Charlie Keegan, 41 Action News Today.
You have just seen the tragic result of an almost unbelievable coincidence of a series of unfavorable conditions or contributing factors. The absence of any one of these factors might have prevented the end results. It was a chain of circumstances. Each link taken by itself might seem unimportant, and yet each link represented an opportunity to interrupt the chain. No one can single out any one of these factors and establish that it alone was responsible. All are important, and in each of these there's a lesson to be learned. This description of events is for the purpose of clarifying circumstances and the factors which contributed to its serious consequences, not for the purpose of placing blame, but rather to emphasize the lessons which have been learned. This was an accident that should never have happened. It did happen because of an almost unbelievable coincidence of a series of unfavorable conditions or contributing factors. The absence of any one of these factors might have prevented the end results. Apparently, one of the self-closing valves did not function, and this allowed the flow to continue by gravity through one of the lines. The flow of product can be controlled by any one of several means. For example, devices to automatically shut off the flow of product in an emergency are a feature of modern loading racks. The proper functioning of these devices is important in preventing or controlling fires. One example of such a device is a spring-loaded valve at the end of a loading line. Another device is a self-closing valve in the line to the loading tube or hose. Another is a preset meter which shuts off the flow of product when the quantity to be loaded has been metered. Control to prevent overflow may also be by remote shutoff of the pump supplying the rack.
Capital punishment. Capital punishment.
If I had the key to GDP, I would have set all prisoners free. If I had the key to GDP, I would have set the prisoners free. Cause the crimes of the shepherds who have heard, they have never been tested, none have never been arrested, and the crime go on, the wicked dead strong. Yes, if I had the key to GDP, I would have set all prisoners free. If I had the key to GDP, I would have set the prisoners free. Where you get the gun that shoot your brother down, or even the knife that take your neighbor life? The frustration you feel that cause you to steal. If I build a fence round a coconut tree, that would cause you to steal from me. Yes, if I had the key to GDP, I would have set the prisoners free. Thought that you entertain in your head, about who I know you would have liked it dead. Cause them not accept your youth with them dread. You lay down every night, can't sleep in your bed. Yes, if I had the key to GDP, I would have set all prisoners free. If I had the key to GDP, I would have set the prisoners free. Big belly man, sit and criticize. Talk about how the youth them no wise. And every day is just lies, lies, lies. Them shoot another youth, for stealing a boot. In future look cute. Yes, if I had the key to GDP, I would have set all prisoners free. About it, you see, criminals still in a them society, still them in prison, you and me, and the crime go on, the wicked get strong. Yes, if I had the key to GDP, I would have set all prisoners free. But no matter how tall is them wall, when the trumpet sound, them wall a go fall. If I had the key,
that sets the prisoners free.
Current Sheriff Daryl Forte and former Sheriff Mike Sharp about the details of a new report. She's joining us live outside the current facility with the story you'll only see here. Ariel, what'd you learn?
Well, Dia, as you and Kevin mentioned, for years we have been reporting on the conditions of this facility, from mold to lawsuits to assaults. Tonight we obtained a copy of the latest report analyzing several studies of the current jail, which outlines exactly what the new facility needs. When you look closely at the tall red building on Cherry Street, you might see a message created by the detainees at the Jackson County Detention Center and echoed in report after report after report.
If you look at the jail the way it is now, you can't teach anybody to grow or to better themselves at all.
And that's why the Jackson County legislator is looking to build a new facility. One, according to this new report obtained by 41 Action News, that should include more beds and offer job training programs to reduce recidivism. Programs currently lacking because of very limited space due to crowding.
The new jail is going to take into account just a wide array of needs of the population.
Exactly who will oversee the new facility will be decided Tuesday. Daryl Forte and Mike Sharp are running for that spot, but both share the same message.
Jackson County needs a new jail.
Something needs to be done.
It's in need of replacement, without a doubt.
The new report estimates the jail will initially need close to 1,200 beds with room to grow. Right now, the detention center only has 884 permanent beds.
It's not safe for the employees, and it's not safe for the inmates.
Another recommendation from the report: change the layout of the facility to reduce the number of blind spots and add services to address detainee needs so more than 20% of the population inside can participate.
GED programs, employment training, reentry training, that can reduce recidivism, and it saves tax dollars and keep our community safer.
Messages the county is moving forward with. Our conversations with the two candidates were extensive, as were the details in this report. To learn more, make sure you visit our website, kshb.com. Reporting live from downtown Kansas City, Ariel Rossfield, 41 Action News.
Hola. Drama, drama.
Tell me who got access to more guns, more ammo, more drugs, fool, more stunts, abusing, putting pain on people for more months. I'm bringing light to the darkness, chaotic problems that officers started, like assassination of enough artists and the terrorization of markets. Using force as their means of solving what they want with their AK machines. Bragging on how many attacks them shot seen. I'm showing you the side of the streets you don't see. Fight for your rights and what do you get? A baton, a gun boot, and couple death threats. I thought it was the people that they serve and protect. If not, it must be someone else. Some die eyes, a cry eye, and I eye, cause I eye. In the streets, getting beat by police. In this city, atmosphere.
Back bullets coming out the barrel. Them slap you off and kick you up and tell you not to quarrel. Incarcerated men, they go through the worst. I hope that every black nation recognize their hurt and their pain. It's happening again and again. So open up your eyes to the game. Been a struggle for you behind bars, being scarred by the infamous truth. Oh child, I know one day the table will turn and cops who are evil will burn. It's the law of life that no one doing wrong shall continue to flag. No, no, no. The time has arrived for the child to look deep within, reconcile with the glory of Jah that shall rise to defend you against wicked vibes.
Drama, drama, Jama, 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 Jama.
Release criminals or dip into taxpayers' pockets. Those are the two possible options Jackson County faces if the legislature does not approve a contract for a new jail.
The deadline is today. KCTV5's Morgan Mobley is at the construction site for the new facility just off of Highway 40 to tell us more about the holdup.
It's been 8 months since the groundbreaking of Jackson County's new detention center, but there's nothing to show for it. So why is that?
The county's in a situation where we're going to have to do something critical with our jail.
Jackson County Administrator Troy Schulte says time is running out. The legislature has two items that need immediate approval. First, a guaranteed maximum price contract with J.E. Dunn and Axiom, the design builders that'll authorize construction. The second step is to issue bonds that'll finance a good portion of the project.
Today is the last possible date that our contractors have agreed to hold their pricing.
The price tag for the new jail sits at $301.2 million for a 1,000-bed facility. If this plan doesn't pass, it could spike millions.
We would probably have to consider reducing the size of the jail to fit the budget.
That could lead to more criminals on the streets.
One of the issues that we've been dealing with the overcrowding of the current facility is the courts and the prosecutor have been having to release folks that would otherwise not be released.
Tony Steele says she would rather give her taxpayer dollars to fund the project than see that happen.
It is an expensive project, but if we all chip in, then it doesn't make it so hard. And in the long run, we're going to be saving lives. So how can you put a price on that?
Schulte says turning to tax will be the last resort.
The legislature is set to meet today. We'll keep you updated if they approve this plan. Reporting in Jackson County, Morgan Mobley, KCTV 5 News.
We've assembled a team of management consultants, data scientists, system architects, and software engineers to shape the future of building security we call CGL 360. It is a comprehensive service delivery platform that integrates proprietary business processes, mobile communications, and workflows with cloud-based technology to specifically address some of the most persistent challenges in the building security industry. What makes us different? We simply didn't purchase technology to deliver point solutions such as guard tour systems or GPS tracking. On the contrary, we spent years to reinvent the 93-year organization by rebuilding every business process, every job description, and every workflow, before tying it all together with seamless technology. That's how we differentiate our service and tie our value proposition to actual outcomes. For example, it's no secret that our industry is plagued with rampant turnover. As building managers, you lose valuable site knowledge and are often left with open shifts. For security providers, we typically incur overtime and site training costs as we manage the revolving door. But what if, through the power of data science, we could define criteria that will ensure site retention with high confidence. Even if we address industry turnover, it's often the case that candidates haven't been thoroughly screened. or lack appropriate training to perform their duties. What if there was a better way to screen our guards and equip them with mobile technology to provide you superior customer service? Suppose you have an urgent need to find backfill resources at your site with little to no notice. Can your provider harness the power of proprietary scheduling algorithms to deliver site-trained guards under those circumstances? Perhaps you're facing persistent issues at your site. Does your provider have tools and processes in place to proactively address site concerns in a timely manner while providing site transparency with your own client access portal? This is just a glimpse of what is possible with our proprietary service delivery platform tailored to the security industry. Give us an hour, and we will share with you our vision for the future of building security. Contact us today.
Welcome to the 360 Justice Podcast, where criminal justice leaders talk about how they are solving tough social infrastructure issues like aging facilities, insufficient funding, inadequate staffing, and an ever-changing political climate. Here's your host, Eli Gage.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Eli Gage, and I wanted to thank you for tuning in to our first episode of the 360 Justice Podcast. Today, I have two esteemed colleagues on the line, Mr. Robert Glass and Joe Lee, both of CGL. And we wanted to talk a little bit today about kind of what's happened in the past, you know, what's happening currently, and maybe even try to dive into what we think might happen in the future. My guest today, Joe Lee, is a Auburn War Eagle with an engineering degree. And has been in our market now, Joe, how long? How long have you been doing this?
Since 1981, 39 years.
That was the year I graduated from high school. And Robert Glass, a University of Oregon Duck with an architectural degree from the University of Idaho that I know, Bob, you've told me several times that you're now tearing down a lot of the justice facilities that you built as a kid fresh out of college.
There's been a few, yes, since 1979. So I'm older than Joe, I guess.
This month is 8 years since we, with the help of the private equity division of the Hunt Companies in El Paso, went out and bought six different companies in 7 months and did what I think is probably the first and maybe not the last roll-up in the criminal justice market. Two of those companies were companies that you each owned. Joe, changed for you at CGL, and how are things different now than they were, say, 8 years ago?
Well, I think we have the resources now to do anything in the market that anybody could possibly ask us to do, from planning early, very, very early planning, operational planning, all the way through facility maintenance and even leasing and owning facilities back to the government. So it's a full menu of services that a client can pick from or that we can deliver all at one time. The main goal is that we deliver the best facilities with the best value to our clients that they can have a full 50-year design life to. So they get a better building from the very beginning. Nothing I hate worse than hearing somebody say, well, it's been that way since it was built. In our particular case, we can eliminate the errors of the past and eliminate the errors that people have seen from the very beginning.
Hey, Bob, going back to you, you sold us your business slightly after the roll-up of the primary Carter Goebel associate, Carter Goebel Lee roll-ups in, I think, July of 2012. How's life different for you now?
You know, I was thinking back as Joe was talking about that. I think there's two things. First of all, the planning thing is what I've always done. But what's nice now is to be able to do this planning work with all those guys you competed with for 25, 30 years. Because they're just like friends to you. Because they're just like friends to you. Because they're just like friends to you. Particularly the maintenance group.
I'm going home.
Welcome, everybody, to the 360 Justice Podcast. I'm your host, Eli Gage, and I'm delighted to be joined today with Judge David Byrne, the Jackson County Circuit Court. Judge, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you, Eli, you and Chloe. Thanks for having me.
And Chloe Jacob, Director of Planning at CGL. Chloe, tell us kind of where we are on the timeline of Jackson right now.
Right. So right now we're starting the criteria development phase, which will go into spring of next year. And then, you know, we'll start really moving more into getting that, you know, design development team or whatever. However they decide to proceed with the project, we'll kind of be on board then. So it's a pretty aggressive schedule, you know, trying to actually get this facility going within the next 3 years, you know. So right now, one of the kind of our unique challenges, we really haven't talked about this yet as a group here, but the judge and I were talking about this a few days ago, is we did all this really, you know, pretty innovative thinking and planning, but we still, you know, we don't know where the site is. And so, you know, that's going to be interesting. So right now, as part of the, you know, design criteria phase, we're actually having to outline what are those site requirements, you know, how many miles to access. You know, where's the nearest courthouse? Where's the nearest hospital? You know, and those distances also impact the level of services that you need to provide on site. So, you know, so we're right now kind of in the middle of that and trying to see. Well, I'll let the judge speak on that too. But that has planning a new facility in the midst of change pretty interesting. And, you know, one of our touchstones that we set together with the steering committee was that we wanted to plan something new. You know, what is the next generation of a detention center? And I would say that doing that at the time of this pandemic has really made us think about that. And
so no delivery method has been determined at this point. No delivery method has been determined at this point. No delivery method has been determined at this point.
All of that's being evaluated right now. That's part of the current phase. So, Judge, what would you like to add about that?
The placement would not be in the city, so to speak. The detention center right now is right across the street from our courthouse in downtown Kansas City. But I think we all agreed it would not be an urban detention center. And again, to go back to your idea of flexibility, Eli, I don't think you can really put a detention center in an urban location and have that flexibility built in. It's almost like creating a new. We're really looking at in the judicial system and the entire justice system, a pretty significant change in thought as to how we handle people that are in the system from beginning to end, the way that we look at them. We're trying to handle things from a more holistic approach, a more personal approach, if you will. Really, the operational cost and the cost of building is very, very much a marginal increase, and over time is more cost efficient to do this. I've seen this when I was on that state task force. When you start talking about we need to change the way we're doing things, or we need to have all of these wraparound services, a lot of times the political folks, their eyes will glaze over a little bit because what they're hearing is, oh, you want new programs, more money, more expense, the efficiencies you gain with a new facility and the programs that really can be safe alternatives to detention, it's no more costly and it really is a much more efficient use of the public dollar. So it really does have value.
Wicked must go down. Oh, down to the ground.
Right, yeah. So we did do an analysis as part of the programming phase to kind of look at staffing and utilities and maintenance and general operating costs. And the bottom line is, you know, this newer facility would have pretty much 40% more capacity, have better systems, you know, it would be a direct supervision model. And at the end of the day, it was like a less than a 6% increase in operating expenses. So coupled with this, with having a new facility and better technology, we all acknowledge that right off the bat, we've got to have improved access to video capabilities for access to the courts and also to lawyers or representation. And not only that, but even have some type of electronic document transfer. So we're also integrating that into the plan. We kind of did an analysis, really, of staff movements from the jail, and when we realized some of the transportation time that is being taken in custody from the jail to the courthouse, and we were able to narrow that into a certain type of proceedings, like the judge mentioned. So we kind of said, well, hey, if we put them out there, you know, co-located with the facility, we're going to have some, you know, savings of money and transportation and time, and hopefully, you know, quicker access to justice. So it's a win. So that was also a no-brainer, I think, you know, and I think we've kind of even proved that out with some numbers, right, Judge, that it was a good business.
Yep.
No special request to our Virgin Devon at once were on the Virgin Devon at Trump. Many people know them as a different name. Some of them all over high like white. That's not right. Don't even sound kind of right. Did you do that? The innocent are suffer for the violence. They say the innocent are suffer for the violence. Because a long, long time and nobody don't know. A long, long time and nobody don't know. But we really can't see you without a VO. We really can't see you without a VO. If you write me a letter, me da feel like a better. Write me a letter, me da feel like a better. Show me some Babylon, you're free for me, I trainer. Show me some Babylon, you're free for me, brethren. Free for me, brethren, out of cross-lane. You be free for me, brethren, out of one swear. Right. You be free for me, brethren, out of Isle of Wight. Free for me, brethren, out of Isle of Wight. Then give me inspiration, be sing for me, drama. Then give me inspiration, be sing for me, drama. You take where they write and you give with the rama. You take where them right and you give with the rama. Show me some Babylon, your leg up in the ice now. Show me some Babylon, your leg up in the ice. Cause every night I hope and pray. One of these days, say you must get away. Cause every night I hope and pray. One of these days, say you must get away. Things is not right without your ear. Things is not right without your ear.
But we're also trying to plan for future technology that we don't know. We don't know what it is. We don't know how it's going to exist. And so creating that flexibility, that nimbleness, if you will, that nimbleness to be able to adapt has been an interesting challenge as well.
Are you limiting the number of spectators, or are they just not even allowed in the courtroom? Or is it just...
If we have space, we'll let them in, but typically with the courtrooms we have in this building, one or two is about the maximum we can get. Unfortunately, we're further compromised by the fact that in the courthouse that I'm sitting in Kansas City, last year in February, we had a pretty massive water line break that flooded about half of our courthouse. So two of our courtrooms that are the largest, they've been out of commission since last February. We hope to get them back by the end of this year. So we've not only got some COVID issues that we're dealing with and restrictions, but we're down about five courtrooms from what we would normally be for conducting trials.
Chloe, I have a question for you because it's kind of dawning on me now that you've worked on hundreds of projects like this. Judge, you've worked on one?
Yeah.
What's one of the biggest crises right now facing jails is how to deal with, you know, medical and mental health. So a lot of our conversation, you know, we recognize a lot of the in custody have medical and mental health issues. and how do we best address that in this new facility and thinking of something new we have come up with out of this, which is something new, something that I have not seen in any facility that we've worked on, is we are promoting, you know, a concept of a new facility where all the beds are on the floor, you know, and it does have a square foot additive to it, but it's percent wise is not that much when we went through it. You know, people are being custody or getting older or have mental health issues and special needs. You know, how do we address some of these concerns, or and how do we provide an environment that, you know, brings the tensions and everything down? And, you know, we talked to our healthcare professionals that we did a case study with, and they were part of the team. And we were like, you know what would be the ideal world? The ideal world is if we didn't have to deal with any bunks at all. And we said, well, wow, what if we had a facility that, you know, bunkless, bunkless. And it was driven thinking about the profile of the offender, but also thinking in light of what's going on with health concerns, that it would give us really what we call the most adaptable facility for the future, because you could respond to different changes and things that we don't know, and we know we don't know that we don't know it.
Being with, you know, some of our, the Bob Glasses, the Joe Lees of the world, when we're going back now and rebuilding some of the jails or prisons or courthouses that we built. I've actually heard him say, boy, we got that wrong.
The idea here is let's not only create new, but let's create state-of-the-art and state of the future. And so you do that through the programming.
Go down.
Coffee. Oh.
Judge, you were appointed by Governor Matt Blunt in 2008, Governor Matt Blunt as the circuit court judge. Prior to that, you practiced law for 27 years in private practice, which I think is a little different ascent to becoming a circuit court judge.
Probably the more typical you would see would be prosecutor, public defender, or someone from the public sector.
So in that private practice, you focused primarily on real estate and construction. That was a big piece of your practice.
Yeah.
In talking to you a month or so ago, whenever it was, I really got the sense that you're thoroughly enjoying this process.
I loved being in private practice and dealing with construction. Maybe it's the idea of problem solving. One of my clients, for example, built all of the hangars where the B-1 bombers are housed, built all of the hangars where the B-1 bombers are very close to us here in Kansas City. And so, yeah, this has been a lot of fun.
One of the things I've kind of failed to point out is that you're also an ordained minister.
True.
Which I thought was interesting.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story about that, Eli. My father was a full-time minister, and in our denomination, we have a lot of full-time ministers and ministers, but the majority are what we call self-sustaining ministers. So someone like myself, who I don't get paid for what I do from a ministerial standpoint, you know, who's got a girl, nor does my wife, who is also an ordained minister. Years ago, I had a client, a woman, and she was in the hospital. I went to visit her, and we were talking, and nurse came in, and the woman said, well, this is my attorney, because we were talking about some estate and some real estate things, and she said, and he's also my minister.
Ordained minister. I thought was interesting.
A blockade of the court entrance where the landlords and the lawyers have been going in to evict tenants for the last several months. This is only one of the ways that tenants are being evicted in Kansas City, though. So meanwhile, we had a disruption of the online court dockets, and that was actually the most disruptive action, whereas this was symbolic. We had folks chained to the doors to shut down eviction court, and our message is that every eviction is an act of violence. And by Judge Byrne and the rest of the judges on this docket, allowing for evictions to occur even during a national eviction moratorium, they're actually sentencing some tenants to death. We know that there are tenants who have already been forced out of their homes and onto the streets, who have gotten sick or will get sick from the coronavirus as cases continue to spike. And the CDC nationally has said that ending evictions is a matter of public health urgency. So we were here to shut things down in person, and meanwhile, we had about 50 people on the phones all morning, and we have people ready to go all afternoon to make sure that every single eviction docket is closed for the day.
I was one of the ones that was illegally evicted last September. We had a court date, but my landlord decided to put my belongings from myself and my children out in the rain. When our court date happened, because of the things that she did, it was dismissed with prejudice. Then on that same date that our case was dismissed with prejudice, she came back down here, filed another eviction under her mother's name. It tears me apart to know, because everyone doesn't have the accessibility to do online hearings. Everyone isn't tech savvy. Everyone doesn't have a laptop. Everyone doesn't have a cell phone. And you mean to tell me evictions can still happen when they don't have these accessibilities? And the courts don't even give that accessibility in the middle of a pandemic? That's why I'm here. I'm here to use my voice to let you know, that everyone know that the court system is not giving accessibility, and they are using their power.
We ain't forgetting anyone, yeah. African people give the dance. We're not forgetting anyone, no. Virgin Islands give the dance. Whoa, Jah, Jah rule and reign.
How does the minister and judge work together? So I mean, that's another.
This is the Abolitionist Hour. I'm your host, Carl G. Judge Burns likes to consider himself a problem solver, considering he was shut down due to his tenant evictions during COVID, sending people to their death, and evictions send people back into prison. Says he's a minister, his wife's a minister. Hell, they do it for free because they like helping people. Oligarchs need reassurance that mass murder is okay. How do we know this guy wasn't ministering to the Shackleys when the opium epidemic hit? What about 2015 when we started getting 500 overdoses a year and it hasn't stopped just in Kansas City? Everybody talks about, oh, my dad was a minister. Being a minister during the 1950s or the Red Scare of 1918, it was about pitching a party line that was suitable for the oligarchs to fool the unbeknown working class after 10,000 labor organizers were sent to prison. The oligarchs are first to tell you what they need. What is David Byrne referring to when he says, as a magistrate judge, he met with legislatures? Was it Governor Greitens, Matt Blunt, Roy Blunt, Amy Klobuchar, Jeff Sessions, in the Trump administration? We need a little bit more information. The unholy alliance that preacher David Byrne has been ministering to. Did County Manager Troy Schulte euphemistically say the new jail can be paid with austerity by squeezing the poor, black, brown, disabled, and disadvantaged communities? We think so. A couple troubling things that Judge David Byrne said when discussing plans for a new Jackson County jail. He misspoke and said justice-ism. Another word he used was flat fact. Flat fact is a term used in flat earth theory. The perception that the earth exists as a flat disk. There's three major categories that describe prisons and jails constructed during the past decade. Describe linear, intermittent surveillance, podular remote surveillance, and podular direct surveillance. They just discovered bunk beds do not contribute to safe prison conditions. Bunk beds work on naval ships and submarines, but servicemen can be rejected from the armed services, or they can retire out. Retirement for prisoners means death. More people have been killed by police and died in prison in the past 30 years than all soldiers who died in the past three wars since Korea. Why is the Correctional Facility Index created by CGL 360? Why is that private information? Why is there so much private information in the justice system? And what about that creepy fucking Capitol in Jefferson City? Has anybody been to that? You go up on the second floor, you come out of the elevator, turn around and look up. There's a photograph of the location where every bullet made in the 18th and 19th century. You walk into that first congressman's office and you look to the left, you see a framed poster of the revelation. At the reception desk, you find a replica of a six-week plastic fetus. Are the oligarchs willing to deliver a new economy away from austerity, but for a fair and equal egalitarian world where people do without want? Think about Men in Black, where they read the National Enquirer to find coded messages in articles. What do you think a second-generation preacher did, an evangelical, charismatic Christian identity minister? What do you think that fundy saw when Lyndon LaRouche published Space Weapons and Popular Mechanic? That's when Ronald Reagan began his campaign. You remember the Welfare Queen Cadillac. These Heaven's Gate, Opie Cunningham looking with her fake-ass country accent. Sounds more like counter-insurrection, like Lyndon LaRouche in the early 1970s, after COINTELPRO. When the Black Power movement was destroyed, LaRouche was going after the anti-war movement. If they couldn't predict these obstructions 40 years ago with the first 500 prisons built, the programming phase cannot predict needs for staffing, maintenance, general operating costs in the United States. There are no efficiency gains using artificial intelligence in a prison facility. It has been a problem over the past 30 years, the public seeing so many prisoners doing the frog march. This has caused the public to ask questions, questions that fall on deaf ear inside the state. Jackson County Jail is already co-located next to the Jackson County Courthouse. What do we do about the problem of a new jail not being on the bus line? No bus line means no access to court hearings for witnesses, for family members, and oftentimes for people on bail. Prisoners need a support group. They need physical contact with people from the outside. This isolation is meant to break down humans, to disassociate them with society. We have talked before where travel has been punishment since the beginning of slavery. And now we're seeing telejusticism reduce transportation costs, allowing the telecom to add to these wraparound services. The cost of added space in this new jail is not beds, but training facilities, rooms for riot munitions. KC Tenants has the receipts on the deaths during COVID caused by Judge David Byrne and the other eviction judges in Jackson County, Missouri. It appears real estate is the factories of the oligarch. So is death a factory of those same oligarchs. Joe Lee built the prisons in Alabama. Eli Gage built hundreds of prisons that fell into dilapidation and disrepair soon after construction. This preacher judge, preacher politician, ambassador of faith is vile and a war crime as colonization itself. In the past, the preacher judge were called Indian fighters in order to transfer native land to oligarchs. There is an issue with Judge David Byrne's brand of austerity. Being the right-wing wingman, Judge Byrne came online to Jackson County in 2008 at the beginning of the banking collapse when one French bank bought all the foreclosures on the east side of Kansas City. From previous broadcasts, we've talked how the capitalist order requires 3.5% annual growth for Wall Street to sustain itself. But since 2006, capital has only managed 0.4% growth. We should mention these elaborate AI phone systems require a massive amount of fossil fuel. The direct supervision model cannot determine the cost effectiveness in the age of climate disruption. Experimentation on prisoners with telemedicine continues to be unregulated. We already see insulin levels used as torture on prisoners in Missouri prisons. These pharmacy machines owned by the Missouri Board of Pharmacy, the assistant warden be immune from war crimes such as torture and abuse. We're going to look at the 1977 flood in Country Club Plaza and Hart Village Trailer Park. We're going to go to the Marlboro neighborhood in 1988 where an industrial fire occurred. Six firemen were killed because dynamite had been stored in a construction area. During the Trump administration, this case had been reopened where the machinists lived for the Bannister Federal Complex. The evidence on these two women is vague at best.
And the nurse literally stopped cold and stepped back. Can't be a lawyer and a minister. It's like there's a rule somewhere.
Rule
says
somewhere.
You can't.
So there you go. Judge Byrne appointed by Governor Matt Blunt, a navigational engineer for the United States Navy, who did a short stint in Missouri state politics. In cash bail, and the overcrowding problem is solved. After a $30 million remodel at the Kansas City Police Department headquarters, the eighth floor was closed. They moved them to the overcrowded Jackson County Jail across the street. We've heard recently in the news that 1,200 beds are needed to meet the cash bail demands of the justice-ism. We still have a problem with over 90 counties in the state of Missouri depopulating. Why is this? Why must we provide more prison jobs in rural Missouri? Why do we need 107 sheriffs in the state of Missouri to oversee 6 million people? Why are there so many vacant houses in Kansas City? It's because of prisons.
Well, how does the minister and judge work together? So that's another evolution of it, isn't it?
I've been accused, maybe that's too harsh of a word, but I've been accused of preaching in court. And here's what I mean by that. I don't think it's that bad.
Amen. Rastafari. Yes, I. Bless her. All right. Well, you know that Maccabee respect the woman, you know. We must always respect the woman. Yeah, man. The woman. The woman is the mother of civilization. The woman is the backbone of every nation. So Maccabee respect woman. But you have some man who don't respect woman. Some man think that woman is only here for the bed. But we know in Angers that woman is more than skin, flesh, and bones, okay? Yeah, man. This one is called She Is More Than a Sex Machine. Run the charge. Now you're someone a boy like woman, they have one thing alone. But woman is more than a special bone. All the girls, watch this. She's more than a sex machine. The woman is a human being. She's more than a sex machine. The woman is a human being. All of them I don't want a full full girl. Might as well we go get a rubber doll. All of them I don't want a idiot girl. Might as well we go get a rubber doll. You see that one there? She have a science degree, boy. The other one run out of money. You see that one there? She is a chief nurse. And she stop me and never go in a tears. You see that one there? She is a teacher. And she teach you everything if you try. You see that one there? She is a soldier, any boy trouble as she back them over. All of the women them in every land. I want you listen me from this award. Like a woman got more brains than man. Agree with me, you want me all of your heart. She's more than a... The woman is a... She's more than a... The woman is a human being. If God only make woman to play a love game, then God wouldn't give them no brain. But to give the woman more brain and some chest. A lot of woman have a holy percent. Woman not they have the one thing allowed. Woman is more than skin, flesh and bone. Doctors and lawyers have look at the house. Even though some woman who run their own house. And if I know come around, she's more than a... The woman is a... She's more than a... The woman is a human being. All of them man who want a full full girl. Might as well they go get a rubber doll. All of them man who want a idiot girl. Might as well they go get a rubber doll. As you can see, Maccabee is a big man, you know, big man. Maccabee only eats good food, okay? Maccabee is a vegetarian, okay? All right. Maccabee don't eat fast food. Fast food is no good. As it go in, it come out, it's too fast. So, while I am in Angers, one place that you will never see Maccabee is McDonald's. McDonald's is no good. Yeah, man. Fire. This one is called Maccabee don't want no Big Mac. One job. Chop. Me don't want no Big Mac. 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 Me. Why you not there? Tell me why you not there. Hey, hey. Why you not there? Me be rushing out there. Hey, hey. Why you not there? Tell me why you not there. Hey, hey. Why you not there? One job. Oh, McDonald's got some shops. E-I-E-I-O. And in these shops he's got a lot of meat. E-I-E-I-O. With a Big Mac here, pork fat deer. Here a big could be a ass food, no goody too fast. Oh, McDonald's got some shops. I'm going to tell them. Me no want no Big Mac, me no want no Big Mac. Me no want no Big Mac, me no want no Big Mac. Me no want no Big Mac, me no want no Big Mac. Me no want no Big Mac, me no want no Big Mac.
You're a great shepherd of the citizens of Jackson County. They're lucky.
Look, I know you've been sentenced. You're going to the penitentiary. I get that. It's a long time. But, you know, your life isn't over. you can still make something of yourself. You can still become productive, not only in that setting.
Bad boys return sharp. The whole of them strap. Everybody blood. Them not take no chat. So when the violence on a stop, police and thief in a shootout. Nowadays they are just them not cool out. In the community the innocent a move out. The gangster them need a new route. Police caught in a badness. Them treat life like a sadness. If them no go and tell them get a casket, them show no love at all. Who is to blame? Better blame yourself. Police get your whips on, you can't explain yourself. Refrain from badness and save yourself. Do something good to entertain yourself in. Police in a shootout. Nowadays they are just them now cool out. In the community the innocent a move out. The gangster them need a new route. Police and thief couldn't be friends. Yet the two of them are road set the same trend. Put the money for them head and them theater. Them boy them we not real them. Police and bus get flat, bad boys return sharp. The whole of them strap, everybody blood. Them not take no chat. So when the violence on us stop, police and thief in a shootout. Nowadays they are just them not cool out. In the community the innocent a move out. The gangster them need a new route. Police yet the two of them are road set the same trend. Put the money on the head and them theater.
First here at 5, members of the Affordable Housing Advocacy Group, KC Tenants, are suing a Jackson County judge over evictions in the area.
KCTV5's Greg Payne spoke with that group and has more on what led to the federal lawsuit.
It was at the end of July that KC Tenants was standing right in front of the Jackson County Courthouse voicing their concerns about paying rent during a pandemic. Well, 2 months later, we're still in a pandemic and KC Tenants is still fighting.
Evictions are an act of violence, especially during a pandemic.
A message members of KC Tenants have been voicing since March, and today they're presenting it a little firmer. The American Civil Liberties Union and their chapter in Missouri filed a lawsuit on behalf of KC Tenants against the Jackson County Circuit Court presiding judge David Byrne. The group say the judge's administrative order goes against the CDC's federal eviction moratorium that was put in place on September 4th and lasts until the end of the year. The nationwide moratorium prohibits and stops all evictions for tenants who submit a declaration confirming they meet the income eligibility requirements, are unable to pay full rent due to income loss or medical expenses, have sought government and rental assistance, are likely to become homeless or move into shared housing if evicted, and if they promise to make partial payments when possible. Casey Tenet says the judge's order allows landlords to continue filing and pursuing evictions regardless of whether the tenant sought relief.
Landlords are now able to pursue evidentiary hearings that would basically put the tenants under scrutiny and under this microscope to see whether or not they can actually pay their rent or whether they have other bills that they're prioritizing over their rent. It's basically a hot mess.
Casey Tenet says they are taking this action not only to stop this in Jackson County, but nationwide. We reached out to Presiding Judge David Byrne about the lawsuit. Court officials sent us a statement saying they cannot comment on litigation now pending in federal court. Coming up at 6, you'll hear the impact the CDC's moratorium has on landlords in our area. Reporting in Kansas City, I'm Greg Payne for KCTV 5 News.
Malaria, malaria, polio, malaria. Malaria. Political malaria.
It was Sunday night that much of Kansas City was awakened by constant rumbling thunder and pulsating lightning that accompanied a heavy downpour. By sunup Monday, several areas in the metropolitan region had received up to 6 inches of rain. Monday remained overcast for the most part, but the heavy rains had stopped during the day. At sunset, the drizzle again began, and it increased to light rain, then got heavier until it came down as a blinding torrent. The tragic results you already know. The damage caused by flooding after Sunday night's rain was enough for a city to endure. Underpasses were flooded, backing up Monday's rush hour traffic and causing long delays for those trying to get to work. Already, rainfall had exceeded records set for the date by more than twice the amount, and there was more. Residents in the Wolcott area in Wyandotte County, Kansas, were being evacuated. They watched the rising streams overtake their homes and possessions. Channel 9 reporter Karen Kelly told of the unfortunate losses experienced by the Hernandez family, which was already displaced before the heaviest rains had begun to fall. There were other areas underwater Monday morning, including the Heart of America Drive-In along East 40 Highway in the 6400 block. It is where the Blue River overflowed its banks, but then receded by mid-afternoon. It did not stay within its banks for very long. There were predictions of more rain and some flash flooding Monday night. The predictions came true. The Royals began their game with the Oakland A's at 7:30. They were in the bottom of the first inning when the downpour forced players off the field. No one could even see the scoreboard. By the time the final player cleared the dugout heading for the locker room, the water was already ankle deep. Cars plowed through bumper deep water in the parking lot. Several stalled and were stranded. Reports began coming into the Channel 9 newsroom shortly after 9 o'clock that Brush Creek was filling rapidly. Police and firemen found it almost impossible to keep up. In 90 minutes, police had set up a command post at I-70 and Blue Ridge Cutoff and were asking for volunteers to bring their small boats for rescue teams. And then the real tragedy began, the loss of life. Efforts to save the occupants in a small blue sedan failed. The car had apparently stalled, trying to cross a bridge over Brush Creek. Channel 9's Bruce Smith and Mike Horine were at the scene, chest deep in water. They reported seeing the car after it had been picked up by the rising waters and deposited on its side against the stone bridge railing. Police and firemen pulled two bodies from the water-soaked wreckage. There would be many more. Then, after midnight, more reports came in from the Country Club Plaza. An explosion in the 600 block of West 48th Street. When two Channel 9 camera crews and reporter Tim Richardson arrived, firemen were dousing the final random flames. Battalion Fire Chief Benny Imparelli said the blast that destroyed Eddie's Loafenstein, Dirty Sally's, and House of Toy restaurant was the result of a natural gas buildup after the floodwaters had put out the pilot light in a hot water heater or furnace. It was the explosion which brought to the attention of our news cameraman the massive devastation all over the plaza. Cars washed into plate glass windows, wedged between trees and buildings, piled on top of each other as if stored in a junkyard. Destruction to the businesses along Ward Parkway was incomprehensible. Clothing, furniture, books, broken glass everywhere. And the stories from eyewitnesses were hard to believe. As Plaza 3 restaurant manager Tom Allen told news producer Kent Pulledge, he had to force people to get up from the tables as the water began pushing through the huge windows adjacent to Ward Parkway.
Yaga, 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 yo, yaga, 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 who want the dance hall to stop? Police, who know how to see herbs a shop?
What?
Within an hour of the reported explosion on the plaza, another major fire broke out, the American Laminated plant at 39th and Chestnut. The flames overtook the large supply of wood used for cabinet making in a matter of minutes. Other fires were reported around 50 Highway in Cleveland, an area deep in floodwaters. The fires burned out of control through much of the night before firemen could simply not reach them. There was another area isolated by the flood, the Leeds plant off Manchester near I-70. Auto plant workers evacuated the first floor, some climbing to the rooftop for a better view of the unbelievable conditions. Later, they spent their time cleaning the mess left by the muddy waters which had inundated the factory. A short distance from the Leeds plant is the Blue River, normally nothing more than a trickling stream. In the pre-dawn hours Tuesday morning, its currents flowed with the power of the Mississippi. Reporter Tim Richardson covered a lot of ground and a lot of water during those all-night hours.
We arrived at the Heart of America trailer camp near the Little Blue River shortly before 7:30 Tuesday morning. Hundreds of people were gathered in the driveway and in their cars where they had waited after being evacuated the night before. A Coast Guard rescue squad had arrived and was preparing to put several of its boats into the flood waters to look for people who may have been trapped inside their trailers. With cameraman Ed Wilming and crewman Mike Porine, I accompanied one of the Coast Guard crews into the flooded trailer court. The boat's primary mission was to take one resident to his trailer to get medicine for his wife, who was under chemotherapy. Along the way, the destruction was evident. Stairwells floated freely in the water. Mailboxes were barely above water. And cars were partially, and in some cases, completely covered by water. In fact, we thought the boat was going to tip over when it ran into one of the submerged cars. It didn't, and we were able to get the man's medicine and also a first-hand account of the flood's destruction. It was a miracle that no lives were lost here.
Those of us who remained at the television station throughout the night with our all-night coverage of flood conditions in the Kansas City area knew that in a few hours the city would be awakening. We also knew what it would see.
No special request to our Virgin Demina once were on the Virgin Demina scrubs. Many people know them as a different name. Some of them all over hide up white. That's not right. Don't even sound kind of right. The innocent are so fussy, the violent. They say the innocent are so fussy, the violent. Because a long, long time and nobody don't know. A long, long time and nobody don't know. Me really can't see you without a V.O. Me really can't see you without a V.O. If you write me a letter, me da feel like a better. Write me a letter, me da feel like a better. Show me to Babylon, you're free for me, I trainer. Show me to Babylon, you're free for me, brethren. Free for me, brethren, out of cross lane. You be free for me, brethren, out of one swear. Are you be free for me, brethren, out of Isle of Wight. Free for me, baby, know that I love wine. They give me inspiration, be sing for me, drama. They give me inspiration, be sing for me, drama. You take where them right and you give with the rama. You take where them right and you give with the rama. Show me some Babylon, your leg up in me, I train. Show me some Babylon, your leg up in me, I train. Cause every night I hope and pray. One of these days, say you must get away. Cause every night I hope and pray. One of these days say you must get away. Things is not right without your ear. Things is not right without your ear. I out here and you in there. I out here and you in there. Do me some Babylon, you eat up on me brethren. Do me some Babylon, you leg up in me brethren. Time is so hard, them try to make a living. Time is so hard, them try to make a living. Giving praises and thanksgiving. Giving praises and thanksgiving. The innocent are so far from the violence. The innocent are so far from the violence. A long time now and nobody don't know. A long time now and you really don't know. Me really can't see you without a B.O. Me really can't see you without a B.O. You write me a letter, me da feel like a better. Write me a letter, me da feel like a better. Show me to Babylon, your leg up in me hygiene. Show me to Babylon, your breathe in me hygiene. Breathe in me hygiene, not a one word. Breathe in me hygiene.
a cross lane. Free fi me ID not a Isle of Wight. Free fi me ID not a Isle of Wight. Don't fret nor worry yourself. Don't fret nor worry yourself. What to be said it must have to be. What to be said it must have to be. I want them to say me eyes can't see. But me will take care of little Mary. Me will take care of little Mary. So don't fret nor no worry. Me know one day you must get free. Say no fret nor no worry. Me know one day you must get free. The innocent are so happy.
It has been called the darkest day in the Kansas City Fire Department's history.
November 29, 1988, six firefighters were killed in a massive early morning explosion.
Prosecutor Gene Peters Baker is now calling for a review of that blast. That's because a newly released Department of Justice report includes the names of two people who have never faced charges. It stops short, though, of calling them suspects.
Tonight, you'll learn firsthand what those security guards told investigators decades ago. Here's investigative reporter Angie Rocono.
We've reviewed thousands of pages of police interrogations, and we've connected with an original detective in this case. But the most intriguing piece might be a recorded interview tucked away in the case file.
This is the videotaped statement of Deborah Riggs regarding the explosion that occurred on 11-29 of 88.
Meet Debbie Riggs.
Tell me exactly the chain of events.
Cal was sitting right here in a pickup truck.
She's one of two security guards named in a Department of Justice report.
I saw two men.
The document says Deborah Riggs and Donna Costanza may have been involved in the arsons. It killed six Kansas City firefighters. Here's Riggs hours after the explosion.
We could see the fire.
She's being interviewed by Detective Victor Zent because she was a security guard at that construction site where two fires were set.
There's a ridge right here, and you can't see the trailers because of the ridge, but we could see flame.
One fire caused an explosion. It instantly killed six Kansas City firefighters. The other fire was her truck.
We call the police.
Riggs is visibly pregnant at a chalkboard explaining how she left her truck to look for presumed prowlers with her brother. Robert Riggs was in charge of security.
You have a radio in your truck?
15 minutes into the interview, Detective Zinn asks this question.
Did you take that with you when you went
yes.
on the quick trip? Okay. What all was left in your truck?
My purse. That's about it.
The keys to the vehicle left
yeah,
in?
Yeah, the keys in the vehicle.
Prowlers were never found. No one steals the truck with the keys and purse in it. It's burned.
That just struck me as odd.
Detective Zinn is now retired.
Logical thing to me, knowing bad guys like I do, I did 38 years as a cop, would be for me to steal that truck.
It was completely in a blaze. I'd never seen a fire so strong. I mean, it was, the flames were real high in it.
Police reports show they determined the fire was, quote, incendiary in nature. It is believed flammable liquid was introduced into the cab area. The detective writes about the purse left behind. The purse contained ID to Debbie A. Riggs. The contents were undamaged by the fire. The purse of vinyl construction has received minor fire damage to the exterior. Another report reveals her gun was also left behind in the truck, and the wooden handle was slightly damaged.
It doesn't make sense.
The truck, purse, and gun always bothered Zinn. Police records reveal tips throughout the years, alleging Debbie Riggs wanted her truck destroyed for insurance money. She's confronted about it in 1995. Detective Emerson asked Ms. Riggs if she had intentionally burned her vehicle, and her reply was no. He then advised her that information had been received that Donna Costanza had burned her vehicle for her because it had a lot of mechanical problems, and she again denied any knowledge. She stated Donna Costanza did not have the guts to set a vehicle on fire. Donna Costanza is the other person named in that newly released Department of Justice report. She was also a security guard. Federal agents wrote she dated Debbie Riggs.
Thank you.
because in a debate, what is the construct? It's typically two people, and there's an audience, and you debate some opposite sides of some issue, and then there's a winner of the debate. And then everyone walks away reflecting on the winner. So who wins a debate? It's often the person who's charismatic, who's maybe charming, that's related to charisma, of course, who has a good way with words, good vocabulary. And you can have someone who doesn't have any of that, who is speaking objective truths, who could lose a debate. So then what is the point of the debate if one of these points of view is objectively true? So I will not enter a debate where I have the objectively true side of an argument and the other person does not. That is something that should not be debated, does not belong in front of an audience getting debated. You want to debate something? Debate political policy of what to do in the face of climate change. Do you have carbon tax? Do you have solar panels? Do you subsidize them? Debate that. Don't debate something that is or is not objectively true in this world. The B.O.B., the rapper, I have a video letter to him, the transcript of which is in Letters from an Astrophysicist. That rose to that level of attention because he started saying, I am using laws of math and physics to show Earth is flat. Those are fighting words. You're going to say using math and physics? That is an alarm to the geekiverse that we must rise up and counteract these forces from the dark side that are out there. So the bat signal went up. I responded. What is the bat signal? Oh, sorry. In my Twitter stream, there were people saying, Neil, you got to do something about B.O.B. Save him from himself. He's saying Earth is flat. Then I first said, who's B.O.B.? So I quickly looked him up. Oh, it's a rap star. Okay. These are people who follow me and B.O.B. in the Twitterverse. So what does that Venn diagram look like? How much overlap is there in the two Venn diagrams? In this slice, however narrow, they were pleading to me to do something. And so I responded with a video letter, just kind of putting him in his place. I think it's important to combat people who are claiming that they are using math, science, evidence, and physics behind their cause when, in fact, they either aren't or they're using it badly. That needs to be called out. Otherwise, if you just have a belief system, I don't really care. We live in a country that protects free speech, which usually also means free thought. You want to think Earth is flat? Go right ahead. But if you start influencing other people who have power over other people and you have no foundation in objective reality, it can be dangerous. If you influence people or you yourself become someone who has influence over legislation, laws, rules by which we all abide in society, that's an unhealthy situation for civilization to be in. If your personal belief system, which does not have correspondence in objective reality, starts becoming predominant in the thoughts and hearts and minds of civilization.
Over the past few years, flat Earth communities have sprung up online, not only sharing research supporting their theories, but often incorporating conspiracies that, for many, are far more dangerous.